Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where educators go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top leaders across the globe. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Danny Sunshine Bauer.
This is episode number 110 with Connie Hamilton, actually her second time on the show. Hi there, my name is Danny Sunshine Bauer, a former classroom teacher and school administrator turned life and leadership coach. I'm also the host of this podcast where each week I share my conversation with top leaders across the globe to help you accelerate your leadership development. In today's show with Connie, we explore a number of interesting topics, like how better leaders, better schools can make you popular and a big deal. I'm saying that tongue in cheek, but kind of true. Permission is key to listening and influence, how to use the five love languages as a leader, and the playbook for job-embedded professional development. Thanks for spending some time listening with me on this podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. But before we jump into the episode, I would like to take some time to thank our show's sponsor. Today's podcast is brought to you by CSC Consulting Group, whose mission is to support people in education and nonprofit organizations to improve processes and enhance the performance of their organizations. Learn more at www.cscconsultinggroup.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by School Spirit Vending. I know the owner and founder of School Spirit Vending. He is a personal friend and he brings hassle-free fundraising to your school. But even better, Matt has written a top 10 school fundraising ideas of 2017. He's given it away completely free. Get it at schoolzonepodcast.com. That's the top 10 school fundraising ideas of 2017 at schoolzonepodcast.com. Well, hey there, better leaders. I am here again for round two with Connie Hamilton. At the time of this recording, she is the number 5 most listened to episode ever in the catalog of Better Leaders, Better Schools. And so I figured I'd say, hey, would you like to come on the show again and bring some more value to the listeners? And she said yes. So Connie is a part-time curriculum director in the rural area of Saranac Community Schools. Her career path led her from teaching elementary and middle school to being an instructional coach in principal positions in both elementary and secondary levels. When she's not serving the staff, students, and community in her district, Connie offers professional development to schools across the nation on topics such as leadership, questioning, literacy, and best practices. Connie, thanks for joining me again on the show.
Hey, I'm happy to be here.
I forgot to ask you how to pronounce your school district. Did I completely butcher that?
Just halfway. Yeah. It's Saranac.
All right, great. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
But don't feel bad, because even people that live within like a 20-mile radius of Saranac have never heard of it. It's a really small school district. We have just under 1,000 students.
So it's so small. How did you find your way there?
Oh, well, they had a job posting, and you tend to go where the jobs are.
That could be a good reason. So they had a great opportunity for you. And how long have you been with that district?
Like 12, 13 years. I've been here a long time. Wow.
That's right. I remember that from the last time. So, and speaking of the last time, you know, you're on the show and you did a great job on there. You were at an ASCD conference recently and somebody bumped into you. Do you mind sharing that story really quick?
Yeah. So we were walking after the ASCD conference. I was with Alice Keeler. We were just kind of finishing up some happy hour beverages. And we were just walking past the rail and somebody says, Connie Hamilton. And, you know, you're at these conferences, you have your name tags on, this kind of thing. And I stop and turn around. Yeah, you're a big deal. And I said, I am. I'm a big deal. And she said, yes, you're number 5 on Better Leaders, Better Schools. And I was like, rock on. You're right, sister. And she says, you're the number 1 female. And I was like, you betcha. So that was that's a pretty proud moment in my day and now in my year. So thank you.
That's really cool. My mentor, Aaron Walker, who runs The View from the Top, he's been on Honest to God every podcast ever created. He's everywhere, and he'll tell a story where he'll go to a conference like you. He'll just be talking to someone in the hall, and somebody will say, "Are you Aaron Walker?" And they'll recognize him from his very distinct Southern draw from Nashville, Tennessee. But it's interesting. It's so interesting how podcasts and what we're doing and just trying to help people out through these shows really, you know, puts yourself out there.
It does. It's a really great way to connect with people.
Yeah. And speaking of connecting, I know you mentioned you'd like to discuss a bit about listening, and that's a hugely important topic, I think, for leaders. Outside of really, I think, knowing and being okay with who you are as an individual, that might be for me the number two skill, because it's connected to so much in terms of empathy and emotional intelligence, is your ability to listen and people feeling heard. So what can you tell us school leaders about listening?
Do it.
It's important.
You know, it's funny because on the last podcast, I noticed immediately that you were a good leader. And I imagine in order to run or a good listener, and I imagine to run a podcast, you kind of have to be. Otherwise, your questions seem really disconnected. So some of the evidence that I noticed in just listening to you listen to me is you really had a great ability to pick out some key points, come back and sort of summarize a little bit shorter than what I originally said it, and then ask a follow-up question that was related. And that's how you really get information. That's how you really dig deep. And, you know, of course, being an effective listener is great for rapport and relationships as well. But I was also looking at the benefits of how to gather information and really get a good understanding, because if you listen as opposed to be thinking in your mind, what am I going to say next, or what is my next point, or what is my argument? If you turn off the voice inside your head and listen to the voice that is in front of you, you're really going to have a much more productive conversation.
I really like that phrase, the turning off the voice inside your head and listening to the voice in front of you. It helps you be present right there with the person and honoring you know, him or her. How did you figure that out? You know, obviously life experience, but were there any classes, shows, books, anything you consumed to help you be a better listener?
As a matter of fact, I just finished a series of workshops under Adaptive Schools, and it was really all about how to foster effective meetings and to make better collaborative teams and work with groups of people. And we had a whole day that was just focused around the difference between dialogue and discussion and how to deal with conflict when that arises within a group. And that was really my big takeaway, is being an effective listener really helps to simmer hostile conversations. Or if you have somebody who is irate, if you just utilize those listening skills so that someone feels like they're heard, it really allows you to get to the problem-solving stage much faster. If you try to jump into the problem-solving stage right at the beginning, so you have a hot parent walk into your office and you're trying to solve their problems before they know that you really understand their problem, you spend a whole lot of time spinning your wheels because they want to say what they want to say and they want to be heard. So you can really get a lot farther if you just spend a few minutes listening, pausing, paraphrasing, and taking that time before you get into solving the problem.
Yeah, listen, pause, paraphrase. I need to, you know, write that on my wall. So when that irate parent walks in the office, you know, I can look at that and remind myself of what to do and what not to do. Connie, do you have any stories of working with irate parent or staff member, anyone, where these listening skills really helped, like you said, diffuse the situation?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it was kind of funny because it made me reflect back when I was in this workshop. It made me think about some instances where I could put that into perspective. And I remember I had an angry father who came in, and it was a divorced situation, and he was upset with something that his former wife had done. I don't even remember the details around it, but he didn't like what his ex-wife had done in the school or said to the teacher or something. I don't know. But he came in and I just sat and listened, and I threw in a sort of here and there, and once in a while I just came back. I said, so I could see you're really frustrated with that, and validated his emotions, but not necessarily validated the fact that he was acting appropriately. And he calmed down, and I remember as he walked out and he said, this was very helpful. I really appreciate you helping me to solve this problem. And he left, and I laughed right to my secretary and said, I don't know what I did, because I didn't solve anything. All I did was sit there and listen. Yeah. But, you know, he just wanted to be heard and wanted, I think he wanted to be validated. And, you know, that's something that I have really learned, not only through my role as a school leader, but as a parent too. I have teenagers. And as soon as you say, I can see you're very frustrated, but, or I can see you're really upset about that, and start moving into problem solving, they shut down. So you have to resist that additional phrase at the end of your paraphrase. Just validate people where they are so that they can calm, and then ask permission. You know, would you like some help solving through this problem? Or would you like to talk about some ways that we might approach this? And once you get that permission, then you can move into looking at what your future options are. But that is that's often very difficult, especially as it's more difficult as a mom, if I'm telling the truth, than it is as a leader, just to say, you know, you have a 15-year-old daughter that's going crazy over something I think is maybe not so important, you know, a little dramatic.
A little bit.
Oh, yeah. I can see that really upsets you.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the end. I can see that really upsets you.
No ifs, ands, or buts after that.
Exactly. It works magic. Try it.
I've had to have learned, probably stumbling through relationships, just being able to ask, you know, that significant other, you know, do you just need me to listen right now? Or are you looking for potential help? You know, and that's kind of like the permission, I think, what you're saying, but also it gives me a clue exactly what they want. Cause in the best scenario, they said, no, I just want you to listen right now. And that's great. Cause then with that knowledge, I'm able to sort of, like, if there's a little, you know, angel or devil on my shoulder and they're trying to give me solutions, I just, like, with my finger, bing, hit them right off. And I don't, because I know I just have to listen. So it's really important that that permission thing is so, so key.
Well, and I think you're right. And sometimes we forget about that teachers often need a place to vent as well. And so if they come in and they're venting and you think that they are blaming you or that they're looking for you to fix something, by posing that question right up front to say, hey, are you here to vent or do you need me to do something about this? And they say, no, I can handle it, but you know, I just need to let off some steam. Then you can just be that sounding board. And it's just such a great opportunity to build trust and rapport and really allow that teacher to vent in a safe place. Better to do it inside your office than it is to do that on Facebook, right?
Yeah, Facebook or email blast the entire faculty.
Right.
Maybe loop in some parents and students. You never know.
Right. That can be dangerous.
It can be dangerous. Connie, you mentioned, you know, something about love languages as well. And I'm thinking you're talking about Chapman's love languages, which I've used in relationships. Is that the same one?
You bet.
And how have you used that as a leader?
Well, I have learned in my early years, my love language is acts of service. So there are five love languages. You probably know them, but I'll repeat them for your listeners. All right. They are, with quality time, physical touch, gifts, words of affirmation, and acts of service. And hands down, my love language is acts of service. And I don't know when this podcast is going to air, but today is the day after Mother's Day. And my love language is so much acts of service is that when my kids asked me what I wanted for Mother's Day, I said, I want you to clean the house without complaining. That's what I want.
Thing. Did you get it?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It was a great day. We all cleaned house together. It was fantastic. And, you know, that's take something off of my plate. Go and get my oil changed for me so that I don't have to do it. Don't tell me, you know, I'm the greatest mom ever. That's just words. That doesn't mean a whole lot to me. But what I have learned, I had one teacher probably about, I'd say about 6, 7 years ago. She really had, it was an aha moment and kind of a changing moment in my leadership role. She said to me, Connie, you're never happy. You always want something more from us. And it would just be nice for you to just say, good job. Not good job, here's the next thing. Or way to go, now let's get better. She said, it just would be nice if you would just say good job. And I just walked away from that. And at first I was like, just steaming, like, how come a teacher doesn't want to improve? Mm. Why wouldn't they want to continuously grow? I just don't get it. Like, hey, yes, we're making steps in the right direction, but we can't stall. We got to keep going. And it wasn't until, I don't know how much, maybe a year later when I read this book and I realized her love language is probably words of affirmation. Yep. And I wasn't speaking her love language. So here I was trying to do different things for her, you know, like I'd say, hey, can I make some copies for you? Or, you know, here's a cupcake, or, you know, here's a donut. Let me refill your coffee. Trying to do acts of service, which is my love language. And all she wants is to hear, you're doing a good job. How easy could that be, right?
So easy.
Yeah. And so what I learned is that people's love languages, even in the workforce, one love language trumps another. And so if your messages are conflicting, so say, for example, you know, it's Teacher Appreciation Week and you make a batch of cookies and the teachers come back and somebody says, you know, in the time that you spent making a batch of cookies last night, you could have graded 2 stacks of papers for me. They don't value gifts. They value quality time mm-hmm. or acts of service. Mm-hmm. So getting to know your staff and knowing what speaks to them and what ways that you can best show appreciation will get you so much farther in pleasing them and really being able to show how much they mean to you and how valuable they are to your system. And that was just such an aha for me, such an aha. As a matter of fact, we just talked about it at school improvement last month. And I think at a fun staff meeting next year, we're going to actually take the love language quiz. So everybody knows everybody else's love language and we could try to speak in love languages. We'll probably in the school zone, we'll stick to high fives for physical sure, touch, sure. But you know, but even that, you know, you can recognize those people who are, you know, they maybe give lots of side hugs or they give lots of high fives or, you know, they just kind of pat you on the shoulder, that kind of stuff. That's a clue that those things are important to them. So you can really listen and pay attention to how they show appreciation. And usually they want to receive that appreciation in that reciprocal format. And so you can learn really a lot on what people value.
Yeah. So listeners, if you're new by any chance to the 5 love languages, that will be linked up for you in the show notes. I'll try to remember also to link, I think the quiz, Connie, isn't it for free online now?
Yeah, there's a bunch of them, but there's one that's right on the love language website that's free.
Yeah, so I'll try to remember to link that up for the listeners as well. But that gives you insights in terms of, right, how you receive love. And if you really think about it, you probably can identify that already. And it's funny how you mentioned, you know, just kind of observing people, even if they don't take the quiz, you would see me giving side hugs, high fives, patting people on the shoulder, and always trying to really encourage and speak positivity and encouragement into their lives, because I'm also a words of affirmation guy in addition mm-hmm. to physical touch. So you can definitely, leaders, observe that, but like Connie's district's doing, maybe request that everybody take the quiz for free online. Build a little bit, 10, 15 minutes of time into a staff meeting and have them self-report. And then you could throw that on some type of spreadsheet or something and see how you can best serve others. Because if you're listening to Connie's story, you often serve people and try to take care of them in the way that you want to receive it. And that's really nice, but it's not personalized to everybody in your staff. And so you may think it's great that you are encouraging every single person because your words of affirmation, but if what they want is a gift, or they want you just to listen, that quality time, or they want you to help them straighten their rows and clean their board, you know, you gotta know your people, because you'll be working really hard for no impact.
Yes, or very little impact, or undoing. Yeah, you think about like gifts, that's not like going out and spending hundreds of dollars, but you know somebody that maybe has the an affection for, oh, say safari animals. And you see a little elephant, or you see something, and you say, hey, you know, I got this pad of sticky notes. It has this elephant on it. It made me think of you because I know how much you love elephants. It's the thought behind the gift that it's right. Personalized. Yeah. So yeah, those people don't miss their birthday. That's a bad, bad thing.
Not with gifts.
That's right. Don't miss a birthday. Don't be late. No gift cards for somebody who has gifts as their love language.
No, yeah, it has to be intentional.
Right.
So, Connie, we're really interested in personal development and how we, I guess, organize our time to be successful. So I'm curious, what does your first hour of the day look like? Do you have any type of morning routine or ritual?
A little bit, I guess. First thing, I sleep with my phone on the corner of my bed. So the first thing I do is roll over, check my messages, see what happened in the night. I work with a principal who arrives at school before I even get up. So I can imagine and I can anticipate that there's going to be some kind of communication from him before my alarm even goes off. So I kind of wake up a little bit to that. I'm a snoozer. So I set my alarm probably 30 minutes before I actually have to get out of bed. So I wake up nice and slowly. And then, you know, I do the typical, you know, shower and get dressed. And I set my clothes out. I try to set my clothes out the night before. Otherwise, it takes too long. And then this year, I have been really focused on making breakfast for my teen kids. I used to do that when they were little and I kind of got away from it. And so I've been trying to make sure that I have breakfast sitting out, even if I can't sit down and enjoy it with them. I have breakfast sitting out with them. And then Saranac is a good 20, 25 minute drive to school. So during my time, I really use that to focus on, okay, what do I want to get done today? What are my priorities? How do I want to organize the day? What do I want to do as soon as I walk in the door to organize myself? And then, you know, pot and a half of coffee later, I'm ready to go.
I have to ask, what does the breakfast for the kids look like?
Today, it was Pillsbury cinnamon rolls, and my son had cut up cantaloupe, and my daughter had cut up grapes and strawberries. So usually it's some kind of fresh fruit and something else. It might be a Pop-Tart or granola bar or, you know, but today I actually baked some cinnamon rolls from a can. Sometimes it's cereal, but
still delicious. You know, that sounds great. You mentioned Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, by the way.
Thank you.
Recently, so I'm going to send my mom flowers. We FaceTimed, and then I found this really cool collection of letters on Amazon, and they're just like these postcards to mom. And each one has like some different type of prompt. And so the one I wrote and sent off on Mother's Day had to do with like, I think about you during these times, you know? And I just remember my mom making the absolute best weekend breakfasts with, you know, pancakes and eggs and bacon, sausage, the works and orange juice. All this stuff. And I just remember that moment and told her, now when I cook, especially cook a meal I'm really looking forward to, I feel as if she's there with me because she really took care of me in that way. And I just wanted to tell her, you know, how much I appreciated that.
Do you ever make breakfast for dinner?
No, I'm not that big into it. But sometimes if friends, you know, request that, I will. How about you?
Oh, yeah, we make breakfast for dinner every so often. And as a family, we sometimes volunteer at the Ronald McDonald House locally here. And whenever we go to the Ronald McDonald House, that is our staple meal. We always make breakfast for dinner for the guests there. I think they get a lot of tacos, sloppy joes, lasagna, spaghetti. You know, they get a lot of those really high carb meals.
Right.
And so not that pancakes aren't high carb, but
sure.
You know, we get pancakes, bacon, sausage. We have this great egg dish that we make and cinnamon rolls, fresh fruit. It's good stuff.
You know,
good stuff.
What I love about that is there's two leadership principles there that people can adopt at their schools or within their families. But one, the importance of serving together. And mm-hmm. so, you know, we were my mastermind group, we were talking about different ways of hiring. And they were talking about this group interview process that they had read about in hiring and having the candidates complete exercises aligned to their values. And we were talking about if service, right, is a really key component to what your school does, well, why not have a candidate meet you out somewhere they can volunteer? Or how much better can you learn about Connie outside of the school, but serving, you know, shoulder to shoulder next to her in a food kitchen or cleaning a creek or whatever it is? You know, I think that's a huge thing. The other leadership principle I want listeners to really understand from her service with their family is changing up the routine. And we could get in ruts and routines, and it's good to have rituals, right, and routines within the school, but sometimes it's fun and healthy to mix it up a bit and have breakfast for dinner and not just serve, right, what is always gets served at the staff meeting or how a day runs, you know, et cetera. So I think those are two principles I want the listeners to take heart right now.
That's good advice. And, you know, if you're looking for evidence of how popular breakfast for dinner might be, just take a look at the hot lunch counts when breakfast for lunch is served.
Absolutely. They're through the roof.
They usually are. At least in my school, they are.
No,
the kids love that, those French toast sticks. So is your mom's love language, going back to these little postcards, is your mom's love language words of affirmation too? Or were you drawn to that because that's your love language?
I know I'm drawn to it because it's my love language. I felt like it would be a very sweet gift, like a mom would like to read why she's so special. At least I hope so.
Of course.
I think her love language probably is more acts of service, you know? Helping clean up and that sort of thing, you know, but that's hard to do when she's in Florida and I'm in Texas.
Sure. Yes. Yeah. Wash my car. That's what I want for my birthday.
Absolutely. Today's podcast is brought to you by CSC Consulting Group, whose team represents and shares a stake with the populations they serve. Their mission is to support people in education and nonprofit organizations to improve processes and enhance the performance of their organizations. You can learn more at www.cscconsultinggroup.com. Conferences, piles of flyers, getting stuck in endless email lists and never-ending calls. There's an easier way to sort through and identify the best school fundraisers. School Spirit Vending proudly presents the Top 10 School Fundraising Ideas of 2017. It's a guide of the top fundraising companies hand-picked from the best podcast. As an added bonus, this guide lists 5 resource companies that would add tremendous value to your community, school, and students. The best part is that School Spirit Vending is giving the guide away completely free. Are you ready to simplify the search? Download the free guide at schoolzonepodcast.com. So, Connie, over the past year, what are you particularly proud of that your school district has accomplished?
We implemented a brand new math curriculum, K-12, and we did it kind of in reverse of what many schools do. So a lot of times school districts purchase curriculum and then they have professional development that goes along with it to support teachers' implementation. And we didn't have the funds immediately available. And so we started with PD. And helping to shift the way that teachers look at instruction, utilizing questioning strategies more, setting up classrooms to support collaborative conversations more. And so when the curriculum came and it aligned with the teaching practices, our scores went from, I think it was 5 out of 6 or 6 out of 7 grade levels that we were below the state average in the area of math. And then in a single year, it flipped. So we were 5 out of 6 grade levels were above the state average in math in one single year. And that's quite an accomplishment that the teachers were able to achieve through not only a shift in instruction, but thank goodness they finally got some materials to support what it is that they wanted to do so they didn't have to reinvent the wheel every single night. And we just finished our state assessment just a couple of weeks ago, and we are excited for the first time and anxious to receive our scores to see how much more that we have improved in year two. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah, that's really fantastic. I applaud you on those efforts. So would you say, I guess, that the PD and the training of laying the foundation is what led to that flip of, kids achieving?
We had a really comprehensive implementation, but yes, I believe that really helped. So we started with PD to kind of prime the pump. We provided the materials, and then ongoingly throughout the school year, we had a math coach that met with teachers and at the county level and at the school level, and teachers met monthly at the elementary level, for sure, they met monthly with our math coach. And they looked at data, they compared notes, how's it going for you, here's how it's going for me, how's it going for kids, what adjustments do we need to make, what's the unit coming up, what's confusing, what do we understand, just really fostered a collaborative atmosphere so that teachers could feed off of each other. And that, I just want to put that in a box, put a bow on it, turn around and repeat it when we implement our reading curriculum, because it couldn't have been any better. They observed each other in classroom, provided feedback to each other on their instruction. It was really job-embedded professional development, and somebody ought to write a book about that.
That's you. Hacking job-embedded professional development, maybe.
There you go.
Oh, that sounds great. I really appreciate you sharing that story, too, because that was a quick summary, but really the playbook of how to lead change within the school and really support your teachers as well. Through job-embedded professional development.
Mm-hmm.
Connie, when you think of the word leader, who's the first person that comes to mind?
My high school principal's name is Josh Leader. So when I think of leader, I think of Mr. Leader, and not just because of his name. He really is an inspiration to everyone around him. My office is in the center of his building, and people forget that I'm there. And so when I'm in my office, sometimes I'm invisible and I hear a lot from that location. And when I hear from him is he might be in my office and we might be having a conversation about something that is high stakes or is not really positive or is causing frustration or stress. And he walks out and he sees a kid or a parent or a teacher. And you would never know that his level of stress is where it is, or he has as many things to do as what he does. He makes every single person feel like he has all the time in the world and that they're the most important person. And I've watched him over the years develop relationships and rapport and completely shift the culture of that building around. And it's just amazing that the teachers recognize it and the kids. He's a high school principal. He has on his door some inside joke that the seniors won't tell him until graduation. His name is Josh, but they call him Kevin.
What?
And he doesn't know why. he doesn't know why. None of us know why. But he has all of these signs and posters that the kids have made and they put on his door. And they're
Kevin.
Like, we'll tell you. Yep. We'll tell you why we call you Kevin when we graduate. And it's, there are things like, don't wear hoodies. It will make Kevin mad. Don't disrupt the Kevin by being late for class. It's kind of the school rules that are coming back, and they're hysterical. They're super funny. And I just was looking at them again today. There are 8 of them. And I thought, boy, the time and energy and the creativity that they're putting into doing this for their high school principal, they really have an affirmation and respect for him that I don't think a lot of high school seniors have for their high school principal. And he's quite an inspiration.
What was the principal in Saved by the Bell? What, do you remember his name? Was it? It wasn't Kevin, was it?
Good night. I don't know. Should I Google it?
I'll Google it when I ask you the next question.
Okay. I don't even remember anything about that principal. Is that a bad thing?
Well, no, I don't necessarily think so. And the only reason it came to mind, I was interviewing somebody, Adam Brown, and he brought in that reference somehow by Saved by the Bell. And some of the stuff that he's tried as a principal, and it was hilarious. So listeners, if you haven't caught that yet, definitely go back to that episode. But Connie, I'm curious, what's the worst leadership advice you've been given or have heard given?
I think the worst leadership advice that I've heard is the mindset of they don't need to know. That whole, you know, you're on a need to know basis, or don't ask, don't tell. That is really dangerous and goes against transparency. It creates us-them atmosphere. It breaks down trust. And unfortunately, I've worked with a leader that has that perspective of not everybody needs to know everything. And while I get, don't get me wrong, we do need to honor confidentiality and we need to respect people's privacy and all of that kind of thing. But having a minimalistic perspective in almost hiding information, that's probably the worst advice. And listening to someone actually reiterate that as if it's a good idea. So, you know, just remember, not everybody needs to know every little detail. So keep it all to yourself. I thought, oh my goodness, how are you ever going to build a collaborative atmosphere and a culture of people who work together with that kind of perspective on the building or district? Sad.
Yeah, it is sad. And you know, I once was at this leadership conference. They were talking about crushing organizational hierarchy. And mm-hmm. in a sense, it's you know, leading from the bottom up in this very collaborative style. But you can't do that if you have this philosophy of, you know, I'm so important and, you know, they don't need to know what's going on, right? So they just need to follow directions type of deal. That doesn't work for me. And leaders, if you have that philosophy, you need to change that quick. And as far as Saved by the Bell, was not a Kevin, not even close. It was Richard Belding. Mr. Belding was the principal.
Mr. Belding. Okay. I don't know. I'll have to tweet you out once we find out when the seniors graduate. We'll tweet it.
Please do, because I'm going to go crazy if I don't find out why his name was Kevin. It's going to be something absolutely obscure, too. My nephew calls me Uncle Carrot, and he's 5 now. It took him 4 years to reveal why, since the day he was able to speak, he called me Uncle Carrot. And people would ask, you know, is that because, you know, your hair is curly and there's that comedian.
Carrot Top.
Yeah. It was like, mm-hmm. No, I don't think that's it. I don't know why my nephew would know it. Why are you calling me Uncle Carrot? Never would tell me. And finally, I said, Silas, why do you call me Uncle Carrot? And he goes, oh, well, that's easy. You're tall and skinny. And that was it. So it was like, who knows what's going through the senior's mind that they're calling him Kevin. Hopefully it's a better reason than that, but we'll see.
Well, and it might be something local, too. It might be an inside joke, too. So I don't know, but boy, he definitely has their attention. So that's great.
That is great. I love asking this question now too. Connie, according to like school leadership, have you changed your mind at all about anything school leadership wise in the past few years?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think my perspective, it kind of ties back to the whole notion of love language. And just because I have a mindset or I'm motivated by, hey, okay, we got that done, what's next, doesn't mean everyone is. And even when you have the very best of intentions, they aren't always perceived that way. And so just being really reflective of how you're being received intentionally or worse, unintentionally, I think is really beneficial. And I didn't used to really value just compliments and how far they really can take you. I just always had the perspective of, you know, actions speak louder than words, and, you know, ain't nobody got time for fluff.
Right, right.
And what I have come to realize is that there definitely are people who value that quite a bit, and it means a lot to them. And so I've really tried to incorporate and be really intentional about narrating. And sometimes when people don't know me very well, I'll even tell them, listen, I don't hand out compliments like candy. So when I say this, I mean it. Like, this is not just fluff. And I'm not just blowing smoke here, but this is really impressive, or this is really a success. And it really goes a long way. So I changed my mind about how powerful words can be.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, that seems aligned to a lot of stuff I'm reading and hearing. You know, it goes all the way back to how to make friends and influence people, and treating people well, encouraging them, that sort of thing. And I'm reading a book right now that I'm loving, Never Eat Alone. And that's about the power of relationships and encouragement, and how, you know, back in the day, it was like understanding and improving systems. And can you be more efficient in your work and that kind of thing? But now, social capital, the relationships you build, who do you know to get the best information, that kind of thing is the most important deal. And a lot of times people remember not only how hard you work, but it's how do you treat them? And part of that is how do you talk to them too, will get you very, very far in this world.
Yes. You know, they say that about middle school, that most kids don't remember anything they learned in middle school, but they sure remember everything about how they felt.
Yep. You're absolutely right about that one. So, Connie, we're getting towards the end of the show. We talked about the Love Languages book, and I just mentioned a few. Is there any book that you would recommend right now that principals should read, and why?
Well, I'm a curriculum director, so most of what I tend to read is around instructional strategies and assessment practices. And I might have even, I probably mentioned the same book in my last interview, but it just encompasses so many things, is looking at the Visible Learning books by John Hattie and looking at the impact, know thy impact is sort of his phrase, and helping us to become intentional and knowing what you're doing, why you're doing it, and don't just grab a buzzword and do it to say that you're doing it, but really have a sound understanding of what implementation with fidelity looks like, so that you're maximizing the impact that you can have on student achievement. And I think sometimes people look at those effect sizes and they grab for the highest one. You know, hey, if we can get collective teacher efficacy, then boy, we're really going to be doing it. Well, you know, that's kind of hard to just do overnight. So maybe grabbing some of the low-hanging fruit of things that you're really close to achieving, and you might be able to pluck a few things off and really improve the way that you're doing those strategies or best practices. That book, and really staying on top of, as he adds research and more meta-analysis to his summary, has That's still up there. I might have already said that book. I'm sorry if you were looking for a different title, but it's kind of my Bible now.
No, that's great. Yeah, Visible Learning by John Hattie will be linked up for you, the listener. You can grab that in Five Love Languages today if you want. Connie, what do you do for fun?
I do your podcast.
Good. I'm glad that you're enjoying it.
we have this, boy, we're doing really well following the underlying theme here, but for fun, I provide service. We really do. Our family likes to provide different kinds of community service. I really enjoy just doing kind things for people. And here's a funny story. I have a secretary that I adored. She was just so, so very, very special to me, and she retired, and I thought I would be lost. And anybody out there who has a secretary like I did knows exactly what I'm talking about. Like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do without her? She's my right and my left hand.
Yeah.
And with it being Administrative Professionals Week just recently, and Mother's Day, every year I get her a hanging basket of flowers, and there's a beautiful little greenhouse that's near my home. And so this morning, over Mother's Day, I went and got her her basket. And so this morning I drove to her house and hung it right on her front porch and just quietly drove away. No card, no nothing. I thought, oh, she'll know it's from me, not a problem. About halfway through the school day, remember I told you I work in a very, very small school district.
Right, right.
About halfway through the school day, I got an email from a parent and she said, I think I saw you this morning. I'm pretty sure it was you. And you left a basket of flowers on my desk or on my porch. Was that for Beth? Because she moved out in October and we bought her house.
Oh.
Yep, it was. It was for her. I said, oh, would you like to keep the flowers? And I'll just get her another basket.
Wow.
She said, no. Actually, everybody knows this as her home. It happens all the time. And she just kind of quietly moved. And, you know, she's not in the school every day anymore. So clearly I haven't talked to her about her mailing address since before October, since that's when she moved. But
wow. Yeah, funny story. That is wild. That's all right. They got to enjoy some really great flowers. And hopefully she's listening to the podcast. She knows how much you care.
Yeah, she will.
Connie, if you could be automatically good at something, what would it be?
Oh, I'm narrowing it down to two things. I would like to either be a good illustrator, but I do feel like I could get better at that. I just need some lessons. Or I really have always wished I could sing. I'm tone deaf or something. Even when I was little, I used to record myself on a cassette tape.
Sure.
Remember those?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had like a double cassette. So I would listen to the song with my headphones and then I would sing it and record myself singing. And even when I was a little kid, I was like, dang, that's terrible.
Oh, no.
I know I've never been able. I love to sing, but I don't do it when there's anyone around. Maybe my daughter, I could sing in front of her, but other than that, that's it. I don't sing in front of people.
What's your favorite song to sing?
Oh, I don't know. I just, whatever's on the radio. I just like to sing. I like to know the words. I get really excited when some kind of 80s songs come up and I know all the words and my kids look at me like, how do you know that? Because all those songs are coming back, right?
Absolutely.
How do you know that song, Mom? I know that song. I know every word. When Prince passed away and they were playing all of his songs.
Yeah.
Oh, I knew every word.
Wow.
Kids look at me like I was magic.
Connie, what message would you put on all school marquees if you could do it across the globe for one day?
Let me think. Maybe a school marquee. How about listen more, talk less?
That's good. Listen more, talk less. Well, Connie, thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any actionable steps you'd like the listeners to take? And what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Actionable steps? Well, in relation to listening, you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So when you're stuck in a bad situation, paraphrase your butt off. Pause, paraphrase, and don't add the yeah buts. Ask permission to problem solve and turn off that voice inside your head. Listen to the person in front of you. Listening is a really valuable skill, not only for building rapport, but also for building understanding. And so those are some key points, some walkaways of what you can do tomorrow. Best way to get a hold of me is my email, ConnieHamilton12@gmail.com, or Twitter. Twitter is really the easiest way. It's attached to my hip and I check it all the time. So there you go.
Well, Better Leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life's 10% of what happens to you, 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and Connie. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Connie in the search bar. In the show notes page will pop up. You'll get the highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. Connie, thank you so much for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me again.
Better leaders, just a few more things before you take off. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the show. This helps gives the show some social proof, aka iTunes juice, and encourages new people to listen to the show. If you are a social media junkie, share your biggest takeaway from the show and feel free to tag me on Twitter or Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer. Take the letters, switch them around, and create something interesting and new. That's how I got it. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Do you want to get a short email from me every Sunday where I share the best resources I have come across, links to interesting articles, books, blogs, and podcasts that have challenged my thinking, and a quote that's inspired me and will inspire you as well? If you'd like access to this resource, head over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and join the newsletter at the top of the page. Over 1,000 school leaders subscribe, and I think you'll benefit from it too. In the newsletter, I also share when a new blog or podcast comes out, as well as different opportunities to work with me. Thanks again for listening to the show.